Hi, I'm Clint.
And I'm Brian. This fall at the Vineyard, we've been working our way through the New Testament book of Philippians. It's this great little letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And already in just a few weeks, we've been seeing how we just have a lot in common with these early followers of Jesus, even though we live 2,000 years later.
Yeah, those first century Christians, they were facing a number of challenges. They were encountering persecution for their faith, and there was also conflict going on between some of the church members. So this was a real church made up of real people, just like you and me.
That's right.
And it's in that context that Paul wrote to encourage them and to give them some insights on how to live a life worthy of the gospel, even in the middle of difficulty.
That phrase, live a life worthy of the gospel, literally means to be equally weighted. The idea is this, that when we grasp the weight of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, then we can respond with a similar weightiness in how we live our lives. Or put another way, as we get a clearer understanding of the gospel, we can more fully orient our lives accordingly to this good news. And so along those lines, today we're going to be in Philippians 2 and picking up in verse 5. Let me read this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
That's such a good verse.
Yeah, that's great.
So last week, Michael ended in verse 5, and that's where we're going to pick up today. So one more time, verse 5, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And last week, Michael, he challenged us to embrace humility just like Jesus did. And he said something that really stuck with Brian and I. He said, the way of Jesus is the way of humility. And as imitators of Christ, we are invited to embrace humility as the posture of our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a big challenge to me.
Yeah.
Like having humility be the posture of my life, like the thing that defines it. So today, we're going to press more into that by looking at three key elements of Jesus' humility. We're going to take some time to weigh what we see about Jesus in this passage, and then how we can respond in equal measure to that really good news, how we can be equally weighted, because we want to learn the way of Jesus and imitate him in our lives.
Yeah, that's so good. So first of all, in humility, Jesus became human. I mean, this is what we celebrate at Christmas time, right? You know, that the miracle of the incarnation, that in Jesus, God became a human being just like us. Now, to be clear, Philippians 2 is not saying that Jesus stopped being God. Rather, Christ concealed his glory as the second person of the Trinity, and for a time, he set aside his right to function as God. This is part of his humility. As the apostles and Nicene Creed state clearly, Jesus was always fully God and fully human. Nevertheless, in his earthly life, Jesus chose to function exclusively as a man. Human being, just like us, who got hungry and tired and thirsty, hot and sweaty, you know, who even experienced temptation, just like we do. And so I think that's a lot of what Paul is getting at here in verse 6, where he says that Christ did not count equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage.
Right? And it just blows my mind to think about that all Jesus gave up for you and me. Like he came to earth as this helpless little baby. Now, I've got a daughter. She's going to turn 2 in a couple months here. And I got another one on the way in November. And there is nothing that I can think of that is more helpless than a tiny baby human. Like I remember having this thought when we brought Clara home from the hospital. Like I was looking at her and I thought, oh man, I could really screw this up. Like this thing, it, relying on me and my wife to survive. Like, there was one time years ago where I forgot to feed my cats and they just ripped a hole in the bag of the food. They were fine. Not so much a baby human. You got to take care of it. And Jesus, he chose to put himself in that position. He chose to become a baby, dependent on others to survive. And that's like the craziest juxtaposition that I've ever heard. Jesus limited himself in very real ways, and he did it so that we could connect with him. To communicate this love to us, he became like us. And because he did that, we can become like him.
Man, that is so amazing. We believe that Jesus not only reveals to us what God is like, but he also reveals to us what a fully alive human being looks like. Because Jesus deliberately and persistently chose to live from his humanity instead of playing his God card, he became for us this model for Christian living. We can become humans full of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus was. And like we've been talking about, we want to imitate him in our day-to-day lives.
And we can do that. We can imitate him, not because he was God, but because he was fully human. This passage says that he didn't use his divinity to his own advantage. But if you read in verse 7, it says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant. Jesus became a servant. He could have used his divine power independently of the Father. As the Son, that was his right. He could have used his power to perform miracles, to change stones to bread, to call angels to keep him from going to the cross, but he didn't. Instead, he became a servant. He left all power and privilege behind, not because he had to, but because he loves us.
Yeah. As a servant, Jesus shows us a completely different way of connecting with God. Rather than us having to scratch and claw to make our way to God, God came to find us in the person of Jesus. Instead of us feeling like, you know, we had to be perfect to gain God's approval, God came looking for us and removed all the obstacles that would get in the way of us experiencing more of him.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Jesus didn't just become human. He didn't just become a servant. Jesus gave up his very life for us in obedience to God the Father and in love for us. And I love the way Romans 5, verses 6, 7, and 8 puts it. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
That last verse is so powerful. It's because of God's great love that he sent Christ to earth. And Jesus was obedient. This is the third thing we're talking about. He was obedient even unto death because of his great love for us. Love was what fueled his obedience. And it's through Jesus' death on the cross that we can have access to this brand new kind of life when we put our trust in him.
Yeah.
Now, as we wrap up this first section of the message, I want to invite you to just take a moment to weigh what we've been talking about so far. Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to become a human. He was willing to take on the posture of a humble servant, and he was willing to be obedient, giving up his life on the cross so that you and I could experience forgiveness and freedom.
So good.
Yeah. So when we really take that in, when we feel the weight of all that God has done in Jesus, here's what it does. It compels us to respond. We want to respond with an equal weight to this amazing good news of God's love and rescue. Now, for a number of you, you know, you might have heard some of these things about Jesus in different points of your life. Maybe even you've been in church a good chunk of your life, but you've never taken the step to fully align your life with Jesus. Up to this point, maybe you've still been the one that's in charge. But today, Jesus has given you the opportunity. He's inviting you to respond, to turn to him in faith and surrender. And before we move on to anything else, let's just pause a moment and do that turning to God. God, we just acknowledge that we have the opportunity to exchange our sin and our shame for your perfection, like our failures of running our own lives and yielding to you as Lord. And so as we weigh this amazing gift of Jesus, what you've done for us, we just want to respond. We want to take those first steps to say that we want to follow you with all of our lives and turning to you in faith and surrender today. Amen.
Amen. So let's finish up today by looking at some other ways that we can respond to Jesus in equal weight to his love and this good news. So one of the things that we can do is we can embrace humility as the posture of our lives. And we talked about how Jesus lived his life as a servant, but he also instructed all of us to do the same. In Matthew 20, verses 26, 7, and 8, Jesus tells his disciples, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So now in Jesus' time, just like in our time, those who serve are often seen as beneath those that they're serving. But Jesus, he flips this on its head by becoming a humble servant. So what would it look like to live a life postured in this way, a life where our primary focus was to serve others?
Yeah, and I think we can do this in both big ways and then sometimes even just practice it in small ways. Like, you know, in your living situation, you could practice humility and servanthood by taking out the trash or to do the dishes when it's not your turn. Or, you know, in the workplace, to go that extra mile to set a coworker up for success rather than trying to jockey to, you know, gain position or to make yourself look good in those ways.
And when we begin to do this, when we begin to live a life of humility, it forces us to confront those selfish parts inside of us, those parts that want to reach out and take all the glory, the parts that want to have us put ourselves first rather than serve others. And when we feel those selfish parts start to rise up, that becomes an opportunity for us to turn to Jesus, to offer him those parts, to have him change us, to pour his humility and his selflessness into us.
That's so good. Here's another way that we can respond in equal weight to this good news of Jesus. We can pursue obedience in every area of our lives. You know, we often think about, limit our thinking about obedience to like following the rules.
Yes.
But what if we could expand our thinking? What if you could expand your thinking to see obedience as well as following the leader? Galatians 5 speaks so powerfully to this. In Galatians 5:25, we read this encouragement. "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Let me read that for us again. "Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." A big part of what it means to be a Christian is that you're continually adjusting your life to align with God's best
that's right.
And there's not an area of our lives that's meant to go untouched by this. We want to follow the Spirit's lead in every area of our lives, you know, and how we approach what we do for work and how we manage our finances and how we face difficulty or how we, you know, deal with temptation. And in both in Philippians 2 and in Galatians 5, I love this, the Apostle Paul, he gives special emphasis to expressing obedience as it relates to how we relate to one another.
Yeah, and then the next verse, it's really kind of telling of the human condition. If you keep going, Galatians 5:26, it says, "Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." So what we're called into are healthy relationships, relationships that build each other up, not tear each other down. Our relationships are meant to be a blessing to others, not just like a selfish thing for us to get our needs met. So we have to ask ourselves, are our relationships healthy? Do we do things like celebrate with our friends when they achieve a success? Or do we try to one-up them or cut them down? Do we strive for unity in our relationships, even when we have disagreements? Because believe it or not, we can disagree on things and we can still be friends. We can still be united. We can still have unity. You know, my wife and I, you know, like I hate watermelon. My wife, she loves it. Aaron and I, we often vote very differently in elections. And yet, we're still united. We still love and serve each other. We can have these healthy conversations where we get to understand other people's viewpoints without trying to poke and prod and provoke and tear each other down. We don't go on social media and call each other names or post something just to get a rise out of the other one. And I think all of our relationships are meant to be like this, to build up and not tear down.
That's good.
So before you hit that send button on that text message, before you post that thing to your social media feed, before you get defensive when you're having that verbal exchange with somebody, could you just pause? Could you just take a moment and consider if what you're about to say or do, if it's equally weighted with the good news of Jesus? Do our words and our actions line up with the way Jesus lived his life?
Yeah, that is so important. But it's also like often really difficult. You know, here's one of the things that really helps me along these lines. When I think about obedience being motivated by love, you know, love, again, like that was what fueled Jesus's obedience. And I think it can be the same for us. We can choose to obey God, not because we're afraid, but because we really love him and we want to do that. We can choose to work that obedience out in our relationships, again, because we want to love people really, really well.
Yeah, so right along with that, here's one last way that we can respond in equal weight to the gospel. We can make the choice to exalt God instead of ourselves or anyone or anything else. So many people believe that this section of Philippians 2 was a worship song that the early church sung. And here's the truth, friends. You and I, we're created to worship. And we find ourselves drawn to worship almost anything and everything. We're drawn to worship other people, including like celebrities and even like the British royal family and even our own family members. We're drawn to worship our possessions, our cars, our homes. Many people, like myself included, we worship our time. We're unwilling to give that up. So you're going to worship something or someone. It's just the way that we're all wired.
Yeah, even tracking back to the original audience of Paul's letter, the first Philippians, there were people that worshiped the ruler Nero. They called him Kyrios and Soter, Lord and Savior. But Paul is saying here that there is really only one who deserves our worship, and that is Jesus Christ. Again, when we weigh what Jesus has done on our behalf, friends, the most appropriate response is to give our all to him in worship.
Here's the deal. God, he doesn't need our worship, but we certainly need to worship him. Mm-hmm. When you and I have God in the proper place in our lives, everything else begins to take its proper place.
That's good.
With God at the center, we can let go of our selfish ambitions, our vain conceits, and instead we can posture our lives around humility. Mm. We can choose a life of obedience, not because we have to, but because we want to. And as we worship Christ, our relationships, they begin to take their proper place, even the most difficult ones.
Yeah. Let me read to you verses 9 through 11 one more time. It says that God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, this is how the story ends. This is where it's all going. But here's the opportunity that we have. We don't have to wait to the end to have Jesus' name be the name above every other name. We don't have to wait to the end to have Jesus be the Lord, the King, the one that calls the shots in our lives.
Yeah.
We can choose that right now. And we can choose particularly to live a life that's postured in humility. It's centered in on obedience and having God at the very heart of who we are. And that we can have this response of saying, God, I'm going to give my all to you in worship. I think you want to pray for us as we prepare to go back into some time of worship.
Yeah, absolutely. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here even more right now. And Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the way that he modeled what it looks like to be fully human, to be fully alive, to be dependent on you. So Father, would you help us posture our lives around humility? Would you lovingly point out all those ways that we have been selfish or that we've been provoking others, the way that we've been breaking unity? God, would you fill us up? Would you make us humble people who just love and serve the way that we see Jesus doing? So Father, would you fill us up and give us everything we need this week to live a life that's equally weighted in response to the gospel?
That's good. We're going to have some announcements now and then eventually transition into some time of singing and worship. So this is a great way to respond, as well as a chance for you to receive some prayer. So thanks for joining us today. Yeah.